Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Make It Sound Fiction, episode 4, where the podcast where we talk about pop culture, media, all those good things, and we talk about, you know, what we like about it and what we don't. We pick it apart, have a good old discussion every week. I'm your host, Nico, and I am joined, as always, with my other co-host, Tyler.
I'm here. I still don't have an AKA, but I'm still Tyler. I'm still Tyler. Maybe it's just still Tyler.
Still Tyler. Yeah. That's a good AKA, if a little bit existential, I guess.
Perfect, honestly.
Still Tyler. We'll change it when you become not Tyler.
Yeah. When that happens, inevitably.
The Tyler's going to persist.
Yeah.
Ad infinitum till the heat death of the universe. So we have a couple of things to talk about this week. As always, I think the thing that we kind of wanted to dig into the most is actually not us discussing narrative or aesthetics or any of the kind of the stuff we've been tackling a little bit before in our earlier episodes. We're actually talking about something that happened in the news this week, if you want to go into that, Tyler.
Yeah, I mean, I think it ties into some of this stuff, but, what is it, like, Guild Wars 2 developer ArenaNet?
Yeah.
They fired two employees earlier this week. It was Jessica Price and Peter Fries, and they're two writers that were on Twitter, and I think it's Jessica Price was tweeting, a thread, right, about how it's hard to write a player character in an MMO without making it like you want to have them have choice, but it's hard to when you got to have a story too, and like every person is like individual in an MMO, despite everyone's the main character in an MMO. And then like I think it was, I don't know how to pronounce this YouTuber's name,
Devoir, I guess.
Yeah, it's like a YouTuber streamer person that apparently is partnered with ArenaNet, so they kind of represent the game.
Yeah, the ArenaNet does that with a lot of people. They actually have done a lot of outreach into their community. I actually am friends with a Guild Wars 2 like affiliated fan artist, and they do a lot of
artists.
Yeah, they do, and they do like giveaways, and they do a lot of like fan art for the game that gets like promoted on the social media accounts and stuff like that. So it seems to be kind of an interesting program that's a little bit stronger than, say, like what World of Warcraft or Final Fantasy 14 has.
Yeah, so he responded to this tweet thread about Jessica Price's tweet thread about making, like, writing characters, and he said, like, it was something along the lines of, like, if you added dialogue trees to the game, it would help out a lot with your issues, basically, right? It's kind of like feedback. Mm-hmm. And I think she responded with, I forget what her actual tweet was. What was it like? Today I'm being a female game dev. Allow me, a person who does not work with you, explain to you how to do your job. And that was a quote tweet with that guy, Dewar's response. And she also tweeted something else about trying to explain dialogue trees to somebody who's worked in this genre for many years. And then a bunch of people on Reddit and I think the official forums got really mad about this, about her responding to fan feedback with quotations, this way.
Yeah.
And people called for ArenaNet to do something about it. And obviously they did. They fired Jessica Price. And then also Peter Fries, who apparently has a tweet thread that he deleted now,
defending her.
He just defended her. Yeah. Yeah. He just said she didn't ask for the feedback. Mm-hmm. So they just fired both of them, and I guess Reddit and whoever was on the official forums are definitely all happy that they got rid of them, because apparently you're not allowed to respond in your own way on your own Twitter.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess the big thing here, I think we both agree, right, that this is pretty crappy,
extremely crappy.
Yeah.
like
she wasn't asking for feedback, and also it's her own Twitter, and there's just I understand that the YouTuber person is partnered, I guess, with ArenaNet, but and obviously you maybe don't want to talk like that to your people, working for the same thing, but she didn't need to be fired. They both didn't need to be fired. They could have been maybe talked to at the least.
I think there's so many things going on with this, which is why it created such a storm of tweets and discourse and kind of open discussions about it, because there's so many levels of stuff happening here. So it's like the way that I found to kind of maybe break it apart was kind of just like looking at it from the sort of like, I mean, we have the facts of the situation and those are, I don't really want to dispute those because, you know, like Jessica Price is allowed to respond to stuff in her own way. You know, the other employee is allowed to respond to stuff in his own way. And I didn't even think the YouTuber was really that kind of out of character. However, I do understand, just even from the tiny bit of like public eye that I've ever been under, is like you get so many people as a woman on Twitter, on social media, telling you what you already know, that like doubt your expert level about anything, or just even just let you have opinions. They just not let you have opinions.
Well, and there's another story about like the same thing, that where somebody, I think it was even Price, mentioning that there's another like female developer that was like she was like customer service or something, and like, but on her Twitter she obviously isn't, and people got mad at her for not like helping people out with customer service stuff.
Yeah, developers are going to be like, on social media, or anybody in a company is on social media, and that doesn't mean that gamers can use them as customer service or fielding, you know, inquiries or feedback.
And this 24/7. Happens a lot with like MMOs.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Right? Like, I mean, it is an MMO, and so it's like a big community, and it's often the way MMOs are made is a lot like everybody leave feedback. We have like public server, like test servers and stuff, like World of Warcraft has this, and I think, I don't know if Guild Wars 2 has that.
I believe
that,
they do. They have forums. I think they do. Or I don't know about public. Forums. I don't know if they have testing, like beta testing.
It's usually an MMO thing to have a lot of feedback from fans.
Because it's
stuff,
a 24-hour a day game.
Right.
It's not.
So I think there's like this assumption that you can just do that.
Yeah.
I think is why
you're plugged into
people
the game
did that.
So much more than, say, somebody who plays a single-player game and runs into a bug once. And they either go past it or they report it because it's like,
or have some issue with the game like design.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I wish this talent tree was different way. Well, people in MMOs can be like, well, that can be updated in the next patch if I mention
it. It's so iterative, and it's so much a 24-hour a day game experience that so many people plug so many hours into, that you create these really rabid fan bases of people that feel like you're kind of beholden to them. And that's where I think the kind of the bigger topic is like, not just even this single solitary incident, which has a lot of like sexism baked into it and like really terrible labor practices baked into it, because who fires two top developers over an interaction that was like maybe mildly rude at best on their own private social media.
I'm surprised they didn't just say like delete the tweets and let's move on.
Yeah.
Like, just try not to do that. I mean, even though it's their own Twitter, like that's all they have to do.
Yeah.
They don't have to fire them.
Or if it's like a fireable thing that like had other stuff attached to it, that is not something that needed to come out publicly and like attached to this. And because all it...
Because they did announce that they fired them, like in a forum
and
post,
and all
by the
that
way.
People see is that it happened, and this was the reason that was given, is that this happened because of this. And
Because there's like a scary quote from like a Reddit thread that got deleted that was like, nobody at ArenaNet is safe. We can just get them fired if we disagree, essentially.
Here's also the thing that bothers me too about it is, I think whatever happened between Derwar and Jessica Price and, you know, Fries or whatever was like its own thing. But I feel like the certain malevolent and malicious elements of the internet, from Reddit, from like 4chan and things like that, always love to find a suitable loose floorboard that has certain social justice underpinnings to it. Like, you know, Jessica Price, she's a very outwardly stated, you know, feminist and writes a lot about, you know, things from a social justice point of view, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Anytime they find a loose floorboard like that, they will just stomp on it. They will fucking stomp on it until it breaks. And it's a playbook, it's a tactic that happens all over the internet. And Reddit cheering that they got a developer that has different politics from them fired, and just the kind of like battle cry that happened, it was just this awful mashup of like misogyny and over entitled gamers happening all at once, because you and I both know, there are so many MMO players and game people and, you know, gamers in general that feel that this is acceptable behavior and that that developers work for them. And if they have a problem they owe them something. And if they have a problem with it, they can just get them fired. They can just make somebody they don't like lose their fucking job. And that's terrifying.
Because a lot of the Reddit threads that weren't just like about like what's get anybody, let's get people fired. It was like, I cannot believe that this nice like person gave her feedback and she responded this way. Like,
how dare
I can't believe
she?
A developer, would respond to a fan.
Yeah.
And it's like, developers don't owe fans really anything other than like, you know, like basic respect. Like, I mean, like they're making a game, like they're making a thing. Like, I mean, yes, there's like feedback for like bugs and stuff, but there's places for that. It's not just always asked for.
Yeah.
By default, if you just make a game. I think it was like, there was some developer that had like a tweet, I forget now who it was, but they were saying something like, if you're an indie developer, you know, you often feel like you're the developer 24/7 because, you know, your game doesn't have like a big company around it, and like you're on Twitter. And look at this, like a big company that now apparently you just have to always be representing them, I guess. Like, I don't know.
It's a difficult position because Jessica Price and Fries get like, they get paid to develop the game. They do not get paid to handle customer service inquiries. There are customer service people that work for ArenaNet. Like, there are people that do that, and that's their job. And I also still think the like customer is always right ethos is bullshit. As somebody who has worked in retail sector for a very long time,
same.
It's a complete trash. because
they're not.
Because customers are garbage to you. Customers take that as and.
It's a huge entitlement thing that they have. Yeah.
And it seems that, like, ArenaNet capitulating to a Reddit mob in order to, like, fire two employees, that's shitty as fuck. Like, that's shitty as fuck.
There's a lot of precedent for this happening, especially with, like, Steam Early Access games and just other MMOs. I'm sure maybe World of Warcraft has even done similar things. In terms of just maybe not like firing people, but just like in terms of like taking weird feedback and taking feedback different places. They even do it on Twitter.
They've told developers on Twitter to stop giving out like game information on their own personal social media.
They used to do that. Where it's like, oh, here's a hunter change on this person's Twitter instead of like the forum.
The forums were in a news
post. Yeah.
And it was very hard to track down. And that's a little bit more understandable because that seems to be like an information efficiency sort of thing versus
Still think that opens it up for people to be like, oh, well, this person talks about this on their Twitter, so that means I can reply to them and say, like,
and
I
there's
hate.
Gotta...
I mean, remember there was that thing where that guy that worked on Call of Duty, he like he didn't even work on Call of Duty anymore, and people were responding to him about some like gun nerf, and they were like really angry at him.
Ghost Crawler,
and he doesn't even work on the game.
AKA Greg Street, AKA like he worked on World of Warcraft for many years. He was like a systems and balance designer for a very long time.
He's at Riot now, right?
He is at Riot. He is the lead designer at fucking Riot, and people still send him World of
people
Warcraft
still,
questions.
Yeah.
And it's like, I cannot imagine what that must be like. My God.
How do you even, like, I would, like, want to make a new account or just get off Twitter. Like, how would you, like, every day, like, getting random tweets about, wow, it's the job I don't work at?
Games that have a persistent multiplayer, like, have a persistent, like, 24/7 platform that aren't, like, single player, they just have communities of people that just don't fucking quit. So,
but see, this is the issue, is every game is having persistence now. You know, Destiny, the big open world games with multiplayer components. Fallout 76 is going to have this now. This is never a Fallout thing before. Like,
Fallout's going to get an MMO audience basically very quickly. And I feel
so
bad
it's like,
for developers that work at Bethesda.
Yeah. Like all these modern games, like The Division, like all these games are becoming more MMO-like because MMOs, you know, sort of as a genre is not really as popular, but plucking things from MMO and the persistence is definitely popular. These games are definitely going to get that way. And it also happens with like early access games. I mean, even like, obviously Fortnite, but then also just like PUBG, like that was an early access game. And So, like, people just are, they think that they can give out, like, tons of feedback on forums and stuff. And, because, like, okay, so here's the thing is, like, with feedback, it can be different, done different ways. So, like, in, I think in World of Warcraft, this is, like, my best, like, example. I think when you play the beta, right, there's, like, a little, there's, like, a window, there's, like, an interface for giving feedback. Like, you can also do it on the forums, but you can also do it sort of privately and say, like, here's this.
It was there for a while. And then it, yeah. I don't think it's been...
It's not there anymore?
It might be. I haven't gotten into the
I
latest
saw a
beta,
video of the
so.
The BFA beta mm-hmm. that at least said something like, what did you think of this, like, boss that you just fought?
Or quest.
Like, was it
or,
satisfying?
Yeah,
or quest?
It's better on the... Yeah, I think... Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I don't know. I guess my point is that, like, feedback doesn't have to be a forum post where everybody can have a say on it, and doesn't have to be a tweet where everybody can have, like, it doesn't have to be public. It could just be feedback for whatever.
Well, that's the problem, is that all of these forums for feedback are largely public mm-hmm. and are extra steps to get into because not a lot of people go to forums anymore. And
right.
people then are emboldened by, say, ArenaNet's actions to consider the social media space to be an appropriate venue for dumping
exactly.
all of their criticism.
Yeah, because it just got validated, essentially.
Yeah, so why would you send it off to some anonymous, like, box or put it on a forum
yeah.
when you can just send it to the developers directly and treat them
right.
like garbage?
Because you can even get people to, like, rally behind you.
Oh,
if
yeah,
they, you know.
If you have a good tweet, you know, things
right.
like that.
And so that's the thing is, like, I hate that because... Because even Overwatch developers do this. Like, there's feedback. They have forums for feedback. But then there's totally stuff that just happens on Reddit. And then, like, an Overwatch developer just pops in and says, like, yeah, we'll look at this. Like, oh, okay. So I guess you're just taking feedback on Reddit, too.
Yeah.
Like,
and
that's weird. I mean, I know that, like, it's weird. Because it's, like, obviously if you want your game to be better, it would be nice if, like, there was some horrible bug to Mercy and somebody found it on Reddit and didn't know to put it on the forums. It's great that they look at that, I guess. But... It's a weird kind of fine line because
I wouldn't respond, like, to it. I think is
yeah, I wouldn't respond to it
because
yeah,
then
maybe
they
just, like,
then
do
that's
it,
reinforcement that it. This is a channel to use that
yeah
for, that will get the because this is the thing, gamers want to talk to the developers directly. They don't care who that is. They just want the most public face and they want to take it and they want to feel that their concerns are heard and that they
right.
want their concerns to be, like, fixed. That's why you have so many people, like, yelling about stuff all the time to people on social media all the fucking time, or, like, people that reply to, like, the tweets on the Play Overwatch Twitter. Like, it'll be
yes,
a tweet
yeah.
about, like, hey guys, new events coming up, and there'll be, like, 1,000 replies of, like, why did you
when
fucking
you fix...
change this bug? Why did you fucking
yeah.
change it? And it's like, holy shit.
Oh,
my God. Oh, my God. You need to chill out. But here's the thing is that I also think that the ways that we sort of develop feedback channels for these games are just also inadequate. And this is also something I saw, you know, we saw being talked about on social media from, like, our friend Celine. As well as a woman that is a narrative designer for Arcane Studios, Hazel Monforton, who also got involved in the, like, Jessica Price thing I should also mention. But huh. her and Celine were also talking about how feedback prizes the people who can feel comfortable being non-anonymous or in spaces,
yeah.
like, they're not friendly. Public feedback forums... pride people who are not marginalized, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, all the posts are just, like, I mean, they're public, and you, like, often, I think, like, if they're not popular, if they don't have a bunch of replies from just random people giving their feedback mm-hmm. on the feedback, then it gets lost in the forums.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that developers look through it, but it, you know, it's not a top post about Sombra bugs or whatever.
Yeah. I should give my personal story here, because back when I was a World of Warcraft player, and I was in the Mists of Pandaria beta. One of the first big quest chains with one of the big NPCs that you encounter, which was G Firepaw. I don't know, some astute listeners might remember this because it was labeled a debacle and a controversy. One of the quest givers, G Firepaw, who incidentally ended up being a bigger NPC in the expansion than just this, like, opening, like, scene when you roll up Pandaren. He would talk to female player characters differently than male player characters. And in a way that was actually really creepy. Like, how beautiful and strong you looked and, like, talked about your body and stuff like that.
Weird. Okay.
So, I made a thread about this because at the time I was writing a blog, and I had a lot of opinions about, you know, sexism in video games and how, you know, women are written and things like that. And here I was encountering an NPC in my fantasy video game where I'm playing a fantasy panda race that I was basically being, like, creeped on by a fucking panda dude, you know? And I wrote a post. I said, this is kind of unacceptable. I don't think this is, like, cool that he talks to, you know, different genders of Pandaren differently, especially when to be creepy. And the amount of shit that I got the next 3 days, there were multiple threads that were started and got locked. I got death threats. I got in-game mail to my main character in World of Warcraft. I had people petitioning GMs to have several of my other characters to have their name changed because one of them was called Missandry. And that was, like, petitioned, and it like, a GM changed my name, because they, you know, reported it and said it was offensive. I got letters in game saying that I was promoting a feminist nanny state. I had multiple comments on my blog harassing me. I had people on my social media accounts harassing me for days, like, almost, like, a week or two. Here's the thing, though. The NPC got changed. But at what fucking cost to my sanity did that happen?
Yeah.
You know, like, did I feel, like, super proud that I, you know, managed to affect some change in the game that made, like, other women players feel better? Like, yeah, totally. That's great.
Yeah.
But
for simple feedback, that just, like, this is kind of weird. Can you just change this? Yeah.
Yeah. And so a lot of the discussion that we saw about anonymized in-game feedback struck so many chords with me because, like you said, that just seems like the optimal way to handle it.
Right. I mean, there are definitely types of feedback that are I think of Overwatch a lot because that's the kind of feedback I see a lot is, like, you know, does anybody play this character? Like, do you have this bug? Or, like, is this a thing that happens to you too?
Yeah, there's shared knowledge is totally fine. Like, I completely understand that. Yeah.
But there's totally stuff where it's just like you said, like a character interaction or something. It's like, it doesn't need to be a forum post. It could just be like, this is bad. Like, I don't know. And it's just a lot of games are doing this now. Like a lot of, I think all early access games essentially ask for feedback via the, just like the little forums they have for each game.
Yeah, and
right?
Those are not moderated.
Right.
The developers themselves have to moderate that unless they hire people
and
to do
they
that.
They don't always have the time and
And it's also shitty. Like having to look at that, like have to look at like whatever festers on Steam to get feedback about your game. And you know, and then the fact that like Valve doesn't take any responsibility for that. So it's so it's like it just feels like there's man, it sounds like video game culture is real bad, Tyler.
It just, I guess, in the way that, like I was saying, it's tied into like narrative stuff that we talk about is like, this is just stuff that, like, you know, there's a lot of games that do have like story stuff and there are people like, I mean, honestly, your thing with the World of Warcraft character, like that kind of stuff, like, I don't know, it affects the way they like make games, write games, because there's always this like kind of not like a threat, I guess, but there's this like looming presence of gamers having like feedback to stuff, and so it's always can like, it, I guess it sometimes makes me think that some games can sort of give in to feedback in a way that kind of hurts the like artistic process of making a game, like. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you might make something that people don't like and it doesn't need to be changed based on the feedback because maybe it's just a design choice, if that makes sense. You know, like, it's the thing I was talking about with, like, mercy changes in Overwatch. It's just like, you know, Resurrect upset people. That sucks. I mean, this is Overwatch. Like, this is our game. Like, Blizzard could have said, like, this is our game. We have Resurrect. Sorry that it upsets you. There's other games.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we don't need the feedback to change it. It's not something we want to change because it's our game. Like, I mean, I know that there's, like, obviously they decided that that's not their game, but it's still, like, I feel like sometimes they might cave a little bit. Some developers cave to feedback just because they want to, like, I don't know. It's this idea that, like, you can just get if you get enough feedback, your game will be, like, perfect or something. Or, like, I don't know. I guess I just, it's hard because it's, like, the way games are persistent, like you said, it's easy for, it's obviously you want to have feedback to make them better. Like, obviously, like, technically and stuff, you don't want to have bugs. And you want people to play the game and not, and be able to play that on, like, whatever system or whatever. But also, like, when it veers into, like, changing the, like, intent, the artistic intent, that, like, bugs me. Because I think it's stronger if games don't just adhere to what, like, fans think over and over. And I think MMOs have this issue a lot, especially with, like, just, like, hero design and stuff like that, or character design, class design. Mm-hmm. And so I just think that it does tie into, like, narrative and stuff, because it can affect that. I mean, it didn't this time. Obviously, they were just talking... Well, I mean, they were. They were talking about character, like, dialogue choices. Yeah. It's like, what if the game was designed to not have dialogue choices? We want your character to say certain things. Then we don't need dialogue choices. Just because it's something that gamers want.
That does doesn't mean cut the game both needs it. Ways, though. Because you could definitely argue that I wanted to change the artistic intent of
right.
a sexist comment. And, you know, and that's definitely the argument that a lot of, like, you know, shitty alt-right dudes on fucking Reddit always talk about. It's like, don't censor. Although it's really funny that they always talk about censorship when it comes to things like making underage characters wear underwear, or calling, you know, trans women slurs in their games. That seems to be the only time that censorship comes up, and, like, you know, wanting to change stuff like that. But, like, you could definitely argue that, like, me, you know, trying to criticize a game for having sexist dialogue, you know, Blizzard absolutely could have said, no, we're keeping it. Like, and they definitely have kept things like that. Like,
they've kept things, and I think that lets you, I mean, yeah, it'd be nice if they changed all the stuff, but it also lets you know who Blizzard is. Like, if they decided to make that, then that's the game.
Yeah, no, that's not good.
I mean, obviously, my opinion is that's not good. But, you know, if they didn't change the panda thing, then I would know, like, ugh, that character's bad. Like, they left that into their game. Like,
and there's
definitely a
lot of things that World of Warcraft has explicitly left in their games that are something to be desired.
I guess I'm making it clear I don't agree with, like, bad things like that in games. It's just saying, I'm just saying that, like, if they decide to not change it,
you know, the character of the company, and you can make your decision about, you know,
that's their decision. And, like, if that's their decision, then I can just not play the game if I don't want to.
That's
like,
true.
Yeah.
I think it's a complicated question.
It's very complicated. I mean, this is the thing that people have been talking about ever. I remember this was a big topic when, like, early access games came out, because it's like, what do we do when the early access game is, like, story focused and not multiplayer, and people want, and it's early access. So it's like, there's going to be feedback. The We Happy Few game, the game that's, like, out now, that game was, like, very, like, I guess it wasn't story focused, but it had a big story to it eventually. And that's early access. Like, that's just weird. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad to be, like, to have feedback for your story game. I'm just saying it is a weird thing to do because it can affect a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's new.
There's also the route of criticism, too. And I think this functions a little bit better in the single-player space, where the game experience is largely an encapsulated... encapsulated experience that sort of stays the way it is, versus the MMO or the multiplayer, where the iterative process is always going on, you know, ongoing things.
And you
like
expect that stuff to change. You expect iteration, because that's sort of the genre.
So it jumps from, like, criticism to feedback, very, you know, kind of back and forth over that fence, versus criticism, which is like, well, here's this finished product. I play through this finished product. It's not going to change.
I'm not asking for change. I'm just criticizing it.
The work as it stands. It's really interesting as somebody who's sort of, like, been a critic, been a person who also gives feedback and has gotten death threats. But I think, like, man, if I had to think of, like, one example where feedback being largely anonymous and private would have really helped is like the No Man's Sky debacle. Like, that was horrifying to watch.
Yeah.
People have full blown meltdowns at developers on social media. Like,
especially for stuff that was like for that game that was like public already. Like,
yeah.
There's stuff they said that people wanted that they said that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, and they still got stuff for it. So
here's the thing, too, is like, no matter how maybe annoyed I was with the sexist panda, I never once threatened a developer over it.
Yeah.
I never threatened anybody. There was no anger there. I took it to the appropriate channels. I stated my opinion very concisely, very clearly, not, you know, not insultingly, you know, which is funny because it's about sexism and I could absolutely be angry if I wanted to, but I kept that anger to a manageable level versus like taking it out on like forum moderators or taking it out on developers or like things like that. And there are so many gamers who predominantly are men who think that their opinion always matters, that their anger is always justified, and it absolutely escalates extremely quickly. And that's terrifying.
Like, right.
Every time. And then the Reddit thing.
Also,
you know, it's
yeah, and the Reddit thing, and then like,
it's mobilized.
You know, imagine you're another ArenaNet employee, like, now are you afraid to write stuff on Twitter? Because you could just get fired? If somebody replied to you, you know, like, so now it makes people afraid.
Yeah.
To work on games.
Afraid to work on games. Afraid to have public Twitters. Afraid that you're just going to straight up lose your job if you offend some fucking Reddit scum lord. Like, and that is the fault of the companies capitulating to this bullshit.
Yeah.
They don't make appropriate channels for this feedback. They throw their employees under the bus for having the temerity to not kowtow to whatever shitty Reddit dude like shows up in their fucking mentions when they weren't even asking for it. It's an industry that just routinely boggles me day in and day out. Why so many people keep working in it? Because it just seems like the corporations involved are afraid of a couple of people on, like, you know, Reddit. And that's enough to, like, fire developers with years of experience over it because, well, we didn't feel that they were operating in line with how we feel that, you know, staff members should communicate with community members. And it's like, you're definitely putting the customers so far ahead of your employees that, like, it's mind-blowing to me. It's absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah, because there's a lot more options they could have taken before just firing them.
Yeah.
That still would have put the customer first, but, like, wouldn't have been as horrible as
also,
losing your job.
Who gives a shit about putting the customer first? My lord. You have a multi-million dollar
fucking
video game.
Yeah, your game isn't
going
to die if this YouTuber person is upset or if anybody, like, if, like,
and
if
he wasn't
Reddit
even
upset.
That's
yeah,
the
he
thing.
Wasn't
this
upset. Is... I think he just dropped it. He's like, oh, okay, I guess.
And he apologized.
Yeah.
What happened is that the Reddit crew seized onto this as being an attack vector.
Right.
And basically wagged the dog over the fucking thing. That's terrifying because this wasn't even involving them, but they seized on an opportunity and milked it for all it's worth and got two fucking people fired over it. Shame on you, ArenaNet. Shame on you.
Honestly, yeah. Like, it's really disappointing.
Seriously, like,
yeah.
So this week it was the start of season 11 for Overwatch, or no, it was like 2 weeks ago, I think, at this point.
Yeah, it wasn't this week, it was this week for us.
This is this week for us,
slow. Yeah,
but
competitive season
competitive
11,
season
by the way.
11.
Yeah,
and it was interesting because we kind of had a couple of nights in Overwatch, not even playing competitive, but playing like quick play, where we just noticed that we were like really not having fun at all. And I even got angry, like, and I don't get angry, or frustrated.
It's usually frustrated. It's not
frustrated
angry
or annoyed. Yeah. And we just like take a break or whatever. I actually got so annoyed that I got up from my desk and walked away. Like, I literally put
down. I didn't know you actually left. Okay.
I left. Like, I got off voice chat. I got up from my, I put my headphones on. I got up from my desk for like 5 minutes and came back. Like,
it was, yeah. Yep.
So we kind of wanted to maybe like, and this, I think this, maybe this might be like an ongoing topic that we talk about is like, man, how do you play multiplayer or competitive games when you have a variety of like mental health issues?
Yeah. Top five tips.
Top five. Well, I mean, it's something that I think we've been thinking about a lot more often now that like Overwatch put in the endorsement system, which is their way.
Which is funny because that really taps into your like self-worth sometimes. It's I guess I didn't get any endorsements this game, even though I thought I did good, but okay.
Oh, yeah, like the fact that you and Hannah are both in endorsement level 3, and I've been bouncing up and down.
I swear I only get that because I have like a high-level border, so people are like, I'm going to endorse this guy because he probably carried us, even though I didn't.
Yeah, so endorsements are basically the like League of Legends commendation system, which is like you get an opportunity to give people who aren't on your friends list that you play with either a sportsmanship, a good teammate, or a shot caller, like a little token thing, and it feeds into like a level. Yeah, lets them know that they did a good job, and it like feeds into a larger like endorsement level system that like is continuous, meaning that like it can decay very rapidly, as I found out.
It's a little level in the corner of your portrait.
Portrait, and it's definitely something that can like be used in like the looking for group tool to like filter people out, so you can
it like maxes out at level 5, but it can obviously decay like we said, and it takes a lot to get up there, but you know, like you can, and you can look at it all the time, so when you press tab and see the enemy team in your team, you can be like, oh look, they're all like level 4 or whatever, so that means they've gotten a lot of endorsements, or there are teammates only one.
So it's interesting because the toxicity level of Overwatch has definitely, I felt like, maybe minimized a bit, like
a little bit. It's tricky because we should mention maybe a little bit is like when you do endorsements, they give you XP for giving out endorsements, so there's kind of an incentive to just give them out, like because you just get experience, and then experience gives you loot boxes. So, you know, I'm not saying that people don't use endorsements for like, this person actually was a good shot caller, but they're, you know, a lot of people are doing it because it gives you XP too, so
which is
great.
It's but. So this is the kind of the thing that we've been like thinking about, but also just that like lately quick play has been kind of bad, like really bad and not fun to play, and I feel like
that happens.
But it happens. We have bad days. We have days where we just don't win a single match.
Yeah,
and us as a group, I know we can feel it at the end of the night, but for some reason, like man, I just feel like we've just been having like some nights where we just get so frustrated and so stressed out. And I feel like this is maybe a place where, like, I feel like people who are, like, not mentally ill or are neurotypical just don't have the same level of problems dealing with people, I think.
Yeah, I'd
assume
you just sort of pass it off of, like, oh, well, that was Overwatch for today.
Yeah.
Like, I played some games. We lost. Oh, well.
Versus, like,
yeah,
I feel like we have, like, a group therapy session after Overwatch. Every time we play it, we have to have like a sit down and a post-mortem and like a safe space aftercare sort of situation where we talk about our feelings.
Yeah. Well, it's hard because like it's a competitive game, and it's, you know, I don't know, like there's medals and stuff that you're always looking at, or at least they're there, so you can look at them. There's, you know, so they medal, and the medals are based off of like how well you did, how much healing you did, how much kills you got, and how much like times you died and stuff like that. Well, you don't get a medal for dying, but you know what I mean, you can look at your deaths. And then there's like play the game at the end, whoever killed a bunch of people or something. And then there's also cards. So a lot of it is about like recognition too. And then there's also like the match chat and the team chat, so that people can be in there and be like, well, Mercy, you're not going to ever res, or like, or Mercy stupid, or you know what I mean? Like there's lots of opportunities for people to comment on you, and or to not comment on like the game to not recognize you. So it's really easy to just like get really like, you know, like into that, like reading into that and being like, oh, look, I didn't get a card. I guess I didn't do anything. Or like, oh, somebody like said like, wow, no res or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, great, I'm terrible at Mercy. Or like, or just playing bad yourself. Like not even the game saying anything and just like dying stupidly as a healer or whatever, or going in and dying as D.Va. And it's easy to just feel like, I just played like crap today. Maybe I'm just bad at this game. Or like, I just don't feel like, you know, like, cause it's really easy to get frustrated at yourself, or feel like you're not like, feel like you're not helping your team, especially if your team is like friends.
Yeah.
And feel like, oh great, all my friends are just doing fine and not getting frustrated, and I'm just getting annoyed at stupid things, and I'm like the party pooper.
That's my problem, honestly, is I internalize a lot of like negativity. It's weird because I don't necessarily beat myself up about my performance per se. Like I used to do that a lot more, and I haven't, which is like really good. It's baby steps. It's really good. But I actually like, my brain does a lot of like negativity about how other people perceive me. Like, oh, all my friends think I probably play like shit. All my friends don't like me. All my friends aren't getting angry, so they must be happy that I left because I was angry. And they must be having so much fun without me there. You know, that's the kind of stuff that I think about. And multiplayer absolutely exacerbates that. And it's especially when you have just a run of really bad games. And I mean, like, really bad games.
And that happens, because especially now, I mean, I don't know if it's our, like time with the game kind of wearing on us a little bit. Mm-hmm. But also, I do feel like the game's design is in such a way that there are just some team compositions that are just punishing. If you don't have your own composition to actually counter that correctly, it's very punishing, and it can just really just wear on you in the game. Like, the game can just be a hard loss.
A really hard loss where you don't get anything accomplished, and
you don't see the point or the objective.
The diminishing returns are very fast, because it's like, there's times when we've lost and it's like, okay, we lost. We just got like a little bit outplayed, or we kind of can see our mistakes or that sort of thing. But when you're running into a like Rein, Zarya, Bridget, you know, like
Moira, and you don't have your own.
And you don't have your own.
Everyone is just dying to a Graviton with a Hanzo dragon or whatever.
Or like no one dies because there's like three tanks and like a half tank.
High
and
health targets. High tons health of targets. Passive tons of healing. And our team is like armor. Low damage. Yeah.
Low damage.
And it's not even that, like, it's one of those things where it's like, it's hard because it's not even that like I want to yell at our Sombra or something to switch. It's not even that. It's just like, oh, this is just a game where it's going to be really hard. And that, and because it's really hard, it's really punishing. And so it's easy to feel like you did bad.
It feels so much more brutally, you know, difficult, because you're, you know, playing Overwatch requires so much focus and so much time and so much attention, and then spending so much of that mental energy on saying, well, I'm only one person in this group of six.
Yeah.
And we have a four stack, but a four stack isn't going to make all of the difference in this game, because it's still a six-person game.
McCree dying on his own on the left, or what, you know.
So you get so you can't frustrated. Do you can't do everything, but it feels like you have to. And there were some times where I was just trying to tank and nothing was happening, and I can't force people, and I can't. Here's the thing: is when you're playing in a four stack and you're playing with two random people and you're dealing with a composition like that, the total amount of effort and work and talent that your four stack has to put into it to basically make up the deficit of the other two people if they're underperforming,
right,
doesn't, like, it stops working after a certain point if it's a really hard composition. Like, we don't like to talk about carrying, because I think that that's kind of
a bad mentality.
A bad mentality. It's not real, kind of, in a lot of ways. But as somebody who used to raid in 25 person raids in World of Warcraft, you could make up the deficit of people underperforming with people who slightly overperformed.
Right.
And at times that works. And in Overwatch, it works in roughly the same way. You pop off, you get some good bubbles, you improve your own performance to make up for the amount of people, like the amount of stuff that the other people aren't doing. And that's actually a good way of getting better as a player.
Yeah, that's the game.
That's
not carrying. Like, that's just playing the game.
Oh, this person's going off and doing this. Well, I'll help them. I'll do this. But at sometimes
the amount of talent that you have to overcome that deficit goes beyond your skills and would probably even beyond the skills of like a top 500 player. It's just
right.
Not,
it's one of those, it's beyond the skills of your hero choice. Like you can't even like this or the game, like you can't even do that much, you know?
And it sucks. Cause it's just like, well, we're just gonna,
it's like, and it's tough because it's like, I don't know. I'm kind of over the, like, I hate my teammates. Like, I mean, I usually don't like my teammates, but like, I'm over the, like, our McCree's garbage. He's the reason we're losing or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm over that because that's just, you're never going to win games if you just hate a person on your team. But like,
and it's never one person anyway. Either.
Right. It's never one person. So, but it's still really hard when people are doing their own thing and not working as a team. And it's just like, well, there's just only so much I can do as a tank or a healer or whatever, even a DPS. Like there's sometimes where you just can't do anything and you just lose, and it sucks because for me at least, I don't know if this applies to you, but it's just like I try so hard to do my best in like those situations where I know it's going to be hard, and sometimes it's not enough, and because it's not enough, I like put so much energy into the like 5-minute game that like I'm exhausted afterwards. Like, oh gosh, like we just super lost, and I tried really hard. And I just don't even know if I, like, care anymore. Like, I'm kind of drained.
Oh, no, that's absolutely what happens to me. Like, mental energy and focus is, like, a very limited resource, especially if you do have mental health issues or if you have attention or disorders or things like that or, you know, that sort of thing. So much energy.
So the thing I'm trying to practice more is, like, okay, if we're not – if this is going to be really hard – then instead of focusing on like just winning, I should just focus on trying to do something better. But I mean, obviously, because of my brain, that's not always easy because sometimes I want to win. Like sometimes it's really frustrating. Like, look, they're not even good with like Zarya. They did like a Graviton and didn't even combo with it. Nobody died, but we just can't kill them. So we're just going to lose because they're just like, it's one Doomfist at our spot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you get angry. Like, I just want to win. Like, I just want to, like, we could just beat these people. Like, I don't understand why I can't just beat these people. But then, and so that like overrides me being like, I just want to like eat the Pharah's ult as D.Va, and that'd be really good to like just be good at knowing where she is and tracking where she is or knowing when they have ultimates. And yeah, we might die by the ultimates, but at least I called them out. Like at least I knew they were there. Like mm-hmm. That's good skills to practice in Overwatch. But sometimes it's just hard to do that because it's just frustrating. And then
you feel like other people are depending on you. I do that a lot. Is I feel like other people are depending on me to play better, and I feel so terrible when I don't.
Yeah, like because like the realistic thing. Yeah, especially when like you're a tank. Or the other thing is that it's easy to think that like you have to do a bunch of stuff, but the game doesn't really work like that. But it feels like that, and there's that's a distinctive difference because if it feels like that, it's still going to drain you mentally. Because there's a lot of games where I do well at the idea of like, okay, we might not win this, but I'm going to try to just practice something, and I usually end those games like, okay, we lost. But I think I did a really good job. Like, I did my best, the best I could, and I'm not too, like, frustrated. So that can happen. You can definitely be in that, like, mental state, but lately I just haven't been really. It's been really fast lately to be just, like, frustrated to the point where it's like, okay, I don't even want to tank for these people. Like, because they don't try, really. They do really stupid stuff, and so, like, I don't really want to, like, I don't want to learn anything on Zarya, so I'm just not going to play Zarya. I'm just going to give up, essentially.
Yeah.
Which leads to worse games sometimes, too, so it's hard.
You get tilted, and it's like...
Yeah.
You kind of just need to, like, take a break and things like that and try to talk yourself through it. But, I mean, I'm going to summarize this with just saying it's hard. It's really hard.
It's really hard
to play video games if you're, like, mentally ill, basically.
Yeah, especially highly competitive ones.
Oh, like, extremely.
There's so much stuff to do in World of Warcraft that you could take a break but still play the game and not be raiding, maybe. Yeah. I mean, like, maybe it's not your raid night.
Yeah.
So you're not racing the DPS chart or whatever. Like, there's stuff to do. But in Overwatch, I mean, I guess I'm kind of wrong. There's, like, mystery heroes and no limits that you could play around in, or custom games, and you don't have to worry about the competitive nature of it as much.
Yeah.
But I'm not super into those myself, so it doesn't really work for me. But, like, yeah, I just... Oh, well, actually, my thing usually is just going into a custom game and killing, like, bots or something, because that's my, like, I can do whatever I want and chill out thing. But, yeah, it's hard. Especially when you're with a bunch of other people that want to play.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you're the one with the issue.
I know that you and I definitely have, like, not butt heads about stuff, but definitely want different things from the game at different times. And
yeah,
I get frustrated and you get frustrated, and it's hard. It's definitely difficult.
But, yeah.
You know, just something to think about. If
yeah. We hate Overwatch is what we're saying.
So I know that there's at least somebody listening to our podcast is like, why don't you just not play Overwatch? Well, if you can find another competitive multiplayer yeah. game that all of us can play, all ears.
Yeah.
Because we don't like League of Legends.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. So, but we are probably going to wrap up the show because we are at 52 minutes.
Yep.
But right before we wanted to go, we just wanted to read a really cool letter that we got from our number one fan, RoboWitch. About friendship in video games and Final Fantasy 15, which was the Final Fantasy with all of the hot boys in it, mm-hmm. I guess.
Need to play it.
Yes. Hi, Nigo and Tyler. After listening to your discussion on episode 3 of the podcast about friendship, I was strongly minded to mention 2015's Final Fantasy 15. Rather than dump the thoughts on Twitter, I felt it might be more interesting to write into the show to share my thoughts on it, even if it's a tangential topic. RPGs like Final Fantasy do offer an interesting opportunity to talk about friendships, much like Mass Effect does, as was discussed on the show. While the game disappointingly does not feature any depictions of women friendships, it was advertised and it emphasizes being a game about male friendships in the context of a road trip fantasy. This received pushback from a few different places, but I want to focus on a particular discussion of it as it pertains to friendship in games. One critical piece that is circulated about it is Todd Harper's April 2017's The Good Boys of Final Fantasy XV Aren't Always Good for Waypoint, which in short argues that despite the marketing, the game mainly trades in tired tropes about male friendship, particularly Gladiolus, one of the RPG party members.
That's a name.
Yeah. Harper ends saying that, I don't think we should be looking to Final Fantasy 15 for our model of what showing true, intimate male friendships can be like. We can definitely do better. I don't disagree with this view. I have only played base Final Fantasy 15 and have never touched on the DLC or added content, but in my view, the relationship between Gladiolus, very masculine, duty-bound, and Noctis, an unenthusiastic chosen one figure whose lack of enthusiasm verges on depressive, is the central hook of that game's narrative. The tension between someone who is deeply driven and someone who needs to be pulled is really interesting, particularly as someone who has often been the latter person in emotionally similar scenarios. There are a number of scenes which focus on this division, focusing on, for example, how frustrating it can be to deal with someone else's apparent emotional disengagement from serious issues or having someone chew you out for your own misery. I can see why folks might not have enjoyed those scenes. Harper cites one as the reason why he soured on Gladius's character. But the development of that relationship and how the characters work through them was Final Fantasy XV's draw for me. I don't feel it was perfect, and it really is the only friendship in this game with this amount of time dedicated to it in the mainline story, but I feel the game's taking an explicitly platonic relationship and making it integral part of the narrative is something I would like to see a lot more of. Noctis and Gladios's relationship isn't important to the big picture of the plot, but it is important in giving that game any emotional heft. Plus, as Inigo alluded to in the podcast, developing this space in games as a medium will mean that we don't need every example to prove why this is why friendship in games are good. There are plenty of kind of messed up but emotionally resonant friendships in other works. It's part of the tapestry. Just need to get that off my chest. I've been loving the podcast and looking forward to tuning in again. Have a nice day. That's a lot.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely a good topic, though, and we should probably talk about it in like a future episode of just like I do agree, not every friendship needs to be good to make it good writing.
Yeah,
like a lot of friendships are terrible.
Stories can be based off of bad friendships. Like, there's tons of stuff. Yeah.
Oh, there's tons of stories about bad
tons
friendships.
Tons of stories can be whatever. Yeah, I mean, like, the games don't even do the friendship thing barely. Like, or they do. It's like, you know, two dudes or something, you know? Like, it's just...
Yeah, I mean,
there's a lot, yeah.
I definitely saw, like, Life is Strange as a good example of, like...
Yeah.
Bad friendship in a lot of ways. So, I definitely think there's that space. It's just, man, we have to, like, work up to having friendships at all before we can even get to the bad ones, you know?
Right.
Like,
and the bad ones are interesting, even if they're not even redeemed or something. There's just something, there's stories everywhere, and, like, I don't know, like, it's to be afraid to do bad friendships is kind of disappointing. Like, come on, like, you can write stories about whatever.
Friendships break up too all the time. Like you stop
that's
being
a real
friends
thing.
With that's a real thing. It's not just romantic relationships. So
yeah.
I really want games to explore that more. So very awesome email. Thank you for sending it.
It
in
makes me
Robo
interested
Witch.
In that game too. Like,
oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I had no idea that that was kind of the case, but. If you want to write in with any of your questions or comments, you can write into makeitsoundfiction, all the words spelled out, at gmail.com. Also, if you like the show, please remember to rate us and review us on iTunes. We will read reviews that you leave on.
And it helps us out.
Yeah, it helps us out a lot. People find the show that way. You can also talk about us on social media and follow us on Twitter, which is we are at MSIFcast on Twitter.
We're not.
What? We're not?
You said MSIF.
Oh, God.
We're MISF. Yeah.
MISFcast.
I don't know who MSIF. I don't know if you're on another podcast without me, but.
Too many S's. So, and also, Tyler, where can we find you on the internet?
I'm on Twitter. I'm at Tyler Culp, TylerColp. I'm also on YouTube, which we've been playing Abduction, which is like a missed game that's really rad, like really rad. We're probably going to talk about that maybe next week or something. And my YouTube is youtube.com/Tyler_Culp. I'm also on Twitch, and I stream every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We're doing Abduction at the moment, and that's twitch.tv/OtterXPop or OtterCrossPop, whatever works.
And you can find me on Twitter. I'm AppleCiderWitch on Twitter and as well as Twitch. We just finished The Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit, and I think we're going to probably play Riven next, maybe.
Riven,
and I am AppleCiderWitch on Twitch as well. So that's the show for this week. A little long, but we had a lot of things to say.
We did.
So we will talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.